Podcast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's. Simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker at kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 20th of August. And I'm joined in the studio by my co-presenter, the stonkingly gorgeous Rebecca Oliver. Hi, Becky, how are you?
Hello, I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's absolutely fantastic to see you.
It's been a very long time.
Has been a long time since you were here last.
It's indeed great
to see you again. The Jewel Sirkin is swanning around in Spain again. We haven't heard from her today, so I reckon she had a three-bottle night last night.
Possibly,
and I reckon she's still in bed suffering. That's what I reckon, anyway. But it's lovely to have you with us.
It's lovely to be here.
And we've got a great lineup of guests on the show today, so thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, so do feel free to contact us, and you can contact us by calling on 01303 874 998, or more likely you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. but if you want to be absolutely sure that we hear from you, tweet me at VanillaWeb. We've already had a dozen tweets in, but do tweet, because that's the best way of getting a shout out or getting anything you want to mention on the radio. So we'd love to hear from you, so do let us know what you want to tell us. And I saw a little thing earlier on this morning from Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services telling us that he was on a pet ambulance run to the vets, taking a budgie with a broken leg.
Aww.
To the vets. Oh, how cute is that?
Budgie updates. We want budgie updates.
Yeah, and we've had a budgie update. We have had one. Where is it now? Let me see if I can find it.
I wonder how a budgie would bless his little heart, break its leg.
I've no idea. I've no idea how you break a budgie's leg. But anyway, I did see a tweet from Adrian with a budgie update. Oh, here it is. The budgie has been given the all clear. The leg is okay, and he has a pin in it.
I was going to say, you couldn't have crutches, could he, really?
How on earth do you get a pin in a budgie's leg? I mean, that must be the most minutest thing ever.
I know. Aww.
Blimey. Anyway, he doesn't say what the name of the budgie is, so we can't wish him all the best, but we wish him all the best.
He might have his own Twitter account.
He probably has. Being a budgie.
Exactly.
Very good.
That's quite quick for me.
Anyway, cool. Look. Tweet me at VanillaWeb if you'd like a shout out on the radio. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a few tweets in already. We've also got loads of emails and loads of news to tell you about. So I think, Becky, what we'll do is we'll kick off with a couple of those emails you got there.
Yep, sure. We start with some Kent Invicta news with some upcoming events. Introduction to export operations on Thursday the 12th of September in Ashford. This workshop will give you an overview of the terminology, procedures and documentation used in the export process, and to promote awareness of the responsibilities and obligations to all parties. There is a cost, members 205 plus VAT and non-members are 225 plus VAT. It's an all-day event, 9:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. And obviously a B2B East Kent in Augustine House in Canterbury on Tuesday the 10th of September, again 9:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. Obviously all events, as always, are always readily posted by the lovely Louisa, and also can be found on the Kent Invicta Chamber website. So,
and as always, we'll put the details on
absolutely.
The Kent Business Radio website, so you can follow up there too.
Yeah, I did see this one. This caught my eye. Obviously, being recently returned from the French Riviera and Cannes, I just thought I quite liked this. Cannes.
Cannes.
It's Cannes. I saw this. Dear Paul, I wonder if this story would be of interest to your listeners. I'm a Bromley actress, filmmaker, and have co-written and producing my first short film with a BAFTA and Cannes award-winning crew, with a specific aim of shooting in the local area and involving local businesses as part of the filmmaking team. We're sponsored by Beckenham Hair Salon Baccarat, and have already filmed teasers in the Lavender House Cafe in Bromley. Locations for the full October shoot include Beckenham Bookshop, Cinema, Cinema and Culture in Bromley, and Lavender House Cafe, Red Boutique, there's various other ones. We have also local professional actors from Beckenham and Bromley in the cast. The support from the film has been overwhelming, and the local community seem generally excited about the prospect of locally made short romantic comedy. Our director is a Cannes Award winner, and our director of photography already has two BAFTAs and has just been nominated for his third at this year's awards in September. Our composer writes regularly for the BBC and has scored over 50 films for them. Our film is completely independent and funded solely through indie film enthusiasts supporting via crowdfunding. Crowdfunding seems to be the in way forward.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we're using a very resourceful crew to utilise an extremely tight budget of around $3,500 to shoot the complete 20-minute film. Our recent third stage Kickstarter campaign achieved 275% funding. Obviously, all the information you can find are 3dayfilms.com. Obviously, they have a Facebook 3day Films and a Twitter 3day Films 1. So if we put all that information, obviously, they're always looking. Maybe they're looking for the next stars, someone in Kent based, and obviously getting involved with local businesses as well, maybe promoting them as well. So
absolutely. What a fantastic
I like that.
Project.
I just didn't actually put her name on. So if you are listening today, tweet us.
Yeah, absolutely.
From 3day Films 1.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting.
Yeah, no.
And I like crowdfunding as well. I know that seems to be obviously where it's become particularly difficult for businesses to raise funds, certainly through the normal means. Crowdfunding seems to be the way. I know certainly on Twitter there was a company many years ago that actually did horror movies, and that's how they did all of their funding completely in its entirety when it was really quite new, sort of, wanted to raise X amount by 12 o'clock at night, and you know, he's got phenomenal following now.
Absolutely.
And quite a cult following too. He's done really successfully.
Well, it's really funny you should mention that, and it's great when a link comes together, Becky, because I've got this email which is about start-up funding, would you believe.
Well, there you go.
Adult education and skills training program, School for Creative Startups, has launched in Kent. Now, this is an initiative that's backed by Doug Richards. Do you remember Doug, who was the American software entrepreneur?
Yes.
On Dragon's Den? So the School for Creative Startups is backed by Doug Richards, and they have launched in Kent, and they are already accepting applications for their next intake of students, which is going to happen in October. Prior to that, there's an interactive hands-on it's an interactive hands-on part-time course which delivers all the business know-how that creative people need to build a profitable startup without all the technical gibberish, pesky acronyms and theatrical rhetoric. It's just the stuff that you need to know to grow your own successful business, taught in the way that you'd like to learn it. Now, there's an event this Thursday at Fruitworks in Canterbury, and it says, join us at Fruitworks at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 22nd of August, where the School for Creative Startups director, Media Cohen, to learn more about what the course entails, how it can work for your startup, and any tips to make your application shine. That's a free event. You can go along to that. There's a rumour that there's beer and pizza available too.
Ooh.
And they will give you an overview of how you apply to get on the full-blown course.
Excellent.
And that's this Thursday at 7 p.m. at Fruitworks. And for those of you that don't know, Fruitworks is at 77 Stour Street, Canterbury. That's just behind the Abode Hotel. And their website is www.fruitworks.co. And you can find out all about that. I've also put a link to the School for Creative Startups' own website on the Business Bunker website, so that if you want to follow that up directly, you can do so.
It's very good to get an insight. I think it's a very, if people are moving into their own startup companies, whether it's because of redundancy or various things, it's quite an intimidating world to know what you need to do. And so, you know, to have any experts and mentoring is fantastic to put you in the right, you know, to get your application.
Absolutely. And talking about crowdsourcing and startup funding and stuff like that, we've had a tweet from Not the Banker Dave, which is Paul Norley. And Paul is a Maidstone-based businessman and an accountant, actually. And he is about to launch a peer-to-peer lending service.
Excellent.
Which is a really good idea. I believe, I hope I'm not beating him to the announcement of this, I believe it's going to be called Spark, and it's a peer-to-peer lending scheme, and a lot of the profit is going to charity.
Excellent. Well, fantastic.
So it's a kind of virtuous circle that he's hoping to do there. But do follow him, Not the Banker Dave, on Twitter.
I think he's following me. I'll have to follow him.
Yeah, because that's some interesting stuff that he's doing there.
Excellent. But let's say it's just, I think in this day and age, I think things like that are really innovative and creative, because I think it's very difficult out there. And there are lots of people with great ideas that actually don't have the funding and the ability to move forward with a business because they are restricted by financial restraints. So.
Absolutely. And later on in the program, we're going to be talking about some of those financial restraints as well. With
Good link again.
It's amazing how the amount of effort that goes into structuring this show is unbelievable, isn't
it? Dodging the wasp.
Yeah, how we pull all those links together and make it all kind of flow naturally. So we're going to be talking to Jamie O'Connell later about managing your cash flow and all those kind of
fundamental part of
running an effective business. Absolutely. I've got loads of tweets. I'm going to read a few. The absolutely gorgeous Miriam McGurk has tweeted a few times. And I hear, Miriam, that you did a bit of a presentation at ABC Networks yesterday and gave us a bit of a plug on the Business Bunker Show. So thank you so much for that. Yeah,
it's an
absolute pleasure. And we're looking forward to having Miriam on as a guest in a couple of weeks' time. Miriam is normally our Turkish listener. She normally resides up a mountain in Turkey, which is in the UK at the moment, doing some stuff. She's actually writing a book in Turkey, which is what she's doing there, about our experiences there.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to her being on the show in a couple of weeks' time.
Excellent.
So thank you for tweeting us, Miriam. We've also had Alex Waterton of F Keys. I have got to tell you this. I went and met Alex in his office in Rochester the other day. And what F Keys do is they're an accredited Microsoft training organisation. Yeah. So far, so yawny. Yeah. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, whatever. I spent 5 minutes with him, and I was moaning about Outlook and email, and he went, well, what's the problem? And I went, well, I'll get all these emails, and it's all a mess. And he said, look at this. And he showed me three tips that radically changed my life in 5 minutes. I was unbelievable. I go, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, you can do this too. I went, blimey. So I highly recommend that if you want to increase your productivity, not learn the product from scratch, if you want to increase your productivity with spreadsheets, Word documents, or Outlook, F Keys are the guys for you. They are absolutely awesome.
I remember, Alex, for many years when we did, obviously, the exhibitions, and I remember him saying, you know, different tips and with regards to spreadsheets and things like that. And I've spent many, many hours just trying to learn how to do something really simple that, like I say, 5 minutes of his time could sort of completely change my time management and productivity.
He spent 5 minutes showing me something, and I got a brain like a sieve, so I don't remember anything. So he showed it to me, and then he gave me a little handout, and he went, and keep that. And when I got back to the office,
he's probably got handouts for everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant.
Like everywhere in his waistcoat.
When I got back to the office, I opened the handout, and I thought, oh, blimey, I could do that and do that. And I got my email box organised for the first time in 25 years. I've never managed it before.
He's a man that can.
He's scary. It's really scary. Do it. Just do it. Is all I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And, hi, Alex.
Anyway, Alex tweeted. That's where all that came from. Thanks, Alex. And likewise, Business Community Breakfast, who are the guys that run a networking breakfast event over there at the Gillingham Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Wheeler and friends. So thank you for your tweet.
I haven't been networking for so long. You'll have to tweet in and tell me where's the best place to network. I haven't been to networking breakfasts for a long time, so.
Well, there you go, listener. You've had an opportunity.
Tell me where
there.
Yeah. Where I should be at.
Becky needs to be told where to go. Or something like that.
Yes.
So if you've got a networking event and you want to let us know about it, tweet me.
Absolutely.
Vanilla Web. give us a tweet, tell us about your next networking event. Yeah. We actually have a section on the Kent Business Radio website for networking. Mm-hmm. We have two sections, events and community. And the community links are for charitable links, fundraisers, and community activities. We're going to cover it later in the show. There's a couple of activities happening in Ashford over the coming weeks. Now, you can find out all the details in the community section of the Kent Business Radio website. We also have an events page, and in the events page we list all the regular networking events and exhibitions and seminars and conferences that happen around the county. So do check those things out on the Kent Business Radio.
The hub of news.
Absolutely, that's what we're trying to do, you know. But we can only put news on there if people send it to us.
Yes, absolutely.
If you don't tell us, we can't put it on there. So if you've got any news, just tell us. Just send me an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk and we will put it on our website. So keep the tweets coming. We've got loads of emails. But for the moment, do you know what we're going to do next?
What are you going to do next?
We're going to have a bit of tunage.
Tunage? What is it? Brian Adams?
No, Giggle Dolls, Iris.
Okay, that's good.
Know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I could taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't wanna miss. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. Tears that ain't coming, all the moment of truth in your lies. When everything feels like the movies, yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, just want you to know who I am. I
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. That was the Goo Goo Dolls with Iris. It's one of my favourite songs that I really like.
It is a lovely song.
Ronan Keating did a version of that that was really superb as well.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So, no, I realise one of my favourite songs that. Anyway, enough of that.
There was no Phil Collins or Bryan Adams, because that's what I remember.
No, I was banned from doing Phil Collins.
I know, I think
I only ever played one track.
Although Phil Collins is very good.
Yeah. But it's funny, it's not, I've got a reputation for always playing Africa by Toto.
And again, well, that's a good
classic. Again, I only played it once. And I've, funnily enough, I'm going to play it again, not today, but in a couple of weeks' time. My youngest son, Stuart, and a couple of his mates did an a cappella version of it, you know, without instruments, which won a song competition.
Ooh.
And I'm going to play that version sometime. But I got loads of flack over that. They go, you play that every week. And when I look back, I'd only ever played it once.
Yeah, but actually, it's quite nice because you can sort of pull out your Desert Island discs, aren't you, on this show?
Absolutely.
All your favourite songs.
Yeah, I'll pick all my favourite songs.
Yes.
I don't care what anybody else wants to hear.
No.
Good stuff. We've got loads of tweets. We've got loads of guests to talk to and all kinds of things to do. I just want to mention a couple of people that have tweeted. Louisa Felstead.
Hello, Louisa.
Facilitator Kent, as she's known on the Twitter. Louisa is one of those movers and shakers in the county and gets loads of business people networking together. And she's actually listening live today for a change. She doesn't normally manage to do that. So it's lovely to welcome you live, Louisa. And thank you for all your support and help with us on the Business Bunker Show. We really do appreciate it. So thank you for that.
Lovely, Louisa.
And also the great folks over at Telcare. Telcare are a telecommunications company based over in Medway City Estate in Rochester, and they are the fantastic folks that supply the telecommunications to this very same radio station that keep us on the air. So welcome to you guys.
Hello.
And thank you very much.
Hello.
And I've got one email I want to read, and then we're going to come to our first guest. And this is an email from Mr. David Philpott. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that know Dave, Dave used to be the chairman of the Kent branch of the IOD. He was also the chairman of the Kent and Surrey Air Ambulance. And these days he's a trustee of the Wiltshire Air Ambulance. And he has a very interesting request that he wants me to read out. And he says, Paul, this is the deal. On the 18th of September, I'm driving from Maidstone to Monaco. It's to help raise enough money to build a school in Uganda.
Wow.
Only trouble is, lastminutedavid.com doesn't have a car or a team yet.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
The rules of... It's an event called the Banger Run, and the rules of the Banger Run state that I cannot spend more than £350 on the car. Okay. Although it could be gifted to him, so someone could give him a car. But if he buys it, it can't cost more than 350 quid, and it has to have a valid MOT and tax and insurance.
Right.
Okay. So anyone that's got a reliable old car that they want to get rid of, a respectful funeral service at a breaker's yard just outside Nice, is promised for the said car. Okay. And secondly, do you want to be in my gang? I need two or three people to share the driving and some of the costs if you can. Although this is not vital, you can find out more about this event by going to one of the following websites, www.maidstonetomonaco.org. That's maidstonetomonaco, all one word, .org. Or you can contact Dave Philpott himself at Dave's fantastic website. He does a brilliant blog as well. And he has the best username on the internet ever. You can contact him at his website, which is imperiousblublinky.com. And Imperius Blubinkley, which is my favourite internet site, is imperiousblublink, imperiousblublinkley.com, and that link is on the Kent Business Radio website.
I have to say, having as everyone knows on my travels, that after my Facebook and Twitter friends, that I had my annual holiday in the south of France and drove for 12 hours. Steve is still with me after 12 because I'm not a good passenger.
Is he shell-shocked?
No, I'm the one that's shell-shocked. He's a very good driver. It's everyone else that's the problem. But that's a phenomenal drive down there. And, you know, it's a really good cause. Lovely finishing point. So I would, anyone that can give any, give generously, because it would be a great opportunity.
I would absolutely love to do that. I would be there like a shot doing it with him. I just can't do it.
You just want a Ferrari to drive down there in a Porsche.
I don't mind what I drive down there in. I used to have a...
Do you know how fast, seriously, how fast they drive? This banger has got to be able to do over 80 mile an hour, or else lorries will be taking over you.
I shouldn't tell you this. Many years ago, I had a Honda NSX. If you remember such cars, it was a very flat-bottom sports car. And it was one of the very first that had a VTEC turbocharger, so an electronic turbocharger, so there was no lag. And I was driving the N6 in France on a Sunday afternoon, and there was no traffic about ever. And I kind of lost the plot a bit and wasn't paying attention to what speed I was doing until a police Porsche... appeared in my rear mirror, at which point I glanced down and was doing 160 miles an hour.
Oh my word.
And the cops pulled me over, right?
The French cops pulled me over.
And they went, "Oh, great car. Can we sit in it?" and stuff like that. And I never got a ticket. And they went, "Oh, amazing. Take it easy."
You've got to have a lot of oomph in your banger, I have to say.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. I'm afraid I can't because I'm really tied up at that time of year. But anybody that wants to help David out, it will be an awesome event. And you'll be doing such good work to build a school in Uganda. So please do get a hold of David and help him if you can, in any way you can. If you've got an old roadworthy banger, hey, give it to him.
Make sure you tweet Ultimate MSD as well, and I'll push it out as much as I can.
Absolutely. Now, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker once again Mr. Jamie O'Connell, who is the Managing Director of Credit Control Solutions International. Jamie, welcome back to the Business Bunker.
Thank you very much for having me again.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. And funnily enough, you know, it's great how we structure these shows and bring it all together and make it all fit together seamlessly. We were talking earlier in the show about raising funds and things like that.
Yeah.
But of course, in business, one of the things that really catches out more businesses than anything else is cash flow. And you and your company offer some solutions for that.
Absolutely.
Why don't you tell us a little bit to start with about Jamie, and then about how you started your business, and then we'll move on to what your business does and some of the things we need to look for.
Okay, well, welcome everybody. Nice to be here again. Almost a year since I was here last
time. It is.
We
worked that out earlier, didn't we? Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Been a few changes since you were last here as well.
Absolutely. Looking very good. Yeah. Very impressed with all your equipment.
Thank you. The studio's quite nice too. Absolutely. Oh, not me.
So my name's Jamie O'Connell. The company is Credit Control Solutions. Where should I start, Paul?
We'll start at the beginning. What's your background, first of all, and then how did you get into running Credit Control Solutions and starting your own business, basically?
Okay, well, my background really revolves around accountancy, credit control, and also sales as well.
Right.
A long, long time ago, did a youth training scheme based in the accounts department, realised I had an aptitude for figures, and I was going to go down the boring accountancy route, but it was incredibly boring. So somebody said to me, "Look, why don't you try credit control?" It was reasonably new here from America in about the mid-80s. So,
right, okay.
It still revolves around an aptitude for figures, but it also involves the art of collecting cash from people.
Mm.
And of course, in good old England, with the English Reserve, not many people were happy to ask people for money.
So it's a real, sorry to interrupt you, but that is a real problem, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So many businesses are owed money and won't even ask for it.
No, even today that is still a problem.
For work you've actually done, and then especially as a business owner where you're actually going to somebody, so generally you've done the work and then you've actually had to go and ask them for the money, it is just such a taboo. So it's a really difficult one.
It really is a taboo, but you'll be very surprised. Not just small companies, but also medium-sized companies. Mm. There are lots of companies out there that don't take collecting their cash very seriously. It's all about selling.
Mm.
But, you know, collecting the cash off the back of those sales is paramount and the most important thing.
Absolutely.
And really good credit control starts before the sales process, you know, doing research on your customer. And obviously the internet makes that so easy these days.
Mm.
But perhaps more importantly, doing a credit check on your customer to check whether or not they're up to date filing their accounts, you know, their annual returns, etc., etc., and of course obtaining a credit limit on that customer.
Absolutely, and that's really interesting. That's something I wanna expand on a little bit, if I may, Jamie, because that, you're absolutely right. A lot of us in business, and I've been guilty of this in the past as well, you're so pleased to make a sale that you just think, happy days. You don't think about, well, can they afford it? Are they going to pay me or anything? You just think, brilliant, fantastic.
Exactly. Yep.
And then you start working, and then all of a sudden you find out they haven't got any money.
Yeah.
So it's a great problem, and after you've been in business a little while, you soon learn that lesson that happens all too often, and it is much more prevalent than you think it is. You know, a lot of people just don't pay. Especially, I mean, in my business, I run a business where our unit cost is very small, and you'd be surprised how many people don't pay or try not to pay just because they think, well, they're not going to bother to collect that because it's too small.
Mm.
I mean, there's no way I'm having every last penny, so you know that's a mistake as far as I'm concerned. But they do that. So one of my questions to you, Jamie, is for a business just starting out and starting to put in place their credit control systems internally, what's the best advice you could give them for checking out? You know, because a lot of people say, well, I can't afford to check everyone out with an Experian credit check or something because I can't afford it.
Sure.
So what's your advice on the best way to do that?
Well, there are lots of providers out there now. Probably a company called CreditSafe is one of the more recent ones within the last 10 to 15 years. Mm. And you can... We can offer to do a credit check for you for literally a one-off fee,
right?
And that varies between sort of £5 and £10, depending on what you're looking for. So that kind of takes care of the affordability of it.
It's
now
absolutely
incredibly cheap. Years and years ago, it was incredibly expensive to have this information available, but now it is incredibly cheap.
Mm.
And that £5 or £10, just purely for a one-off check, could actually save you thousands down the line.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, you're again, the internet, as you know, all of a sudden you've got lots and lots of information available to you to be able to assess the customer. But credit checking is probably the key thing.
Mm.
You know, before, you know, the inquiries, the customer makes an inquiry, and as soon as any customer makes an inquiry to me, the first thing I will do is credit check them.
Mm.
Not just for the company that I'm doing business with, but any previous companies that they've had an interest in.
Right.
So you can start to look for... credibility, really.
Track record.
Yeah.
The other thing is obviously terms and conditions, and obviously, in my experience in time, the little guys, as we are always known, as you know, as certainly as I've always been known, as you know, we do generally pay up because we're all in the same position, but it's the larger companies that actually who have a 60-90 day turnaround, and they're the ones that are crippling the smaller companies, because obviously they have fixed terms of, you know, payment. And how do you sort of get over that sort of for a smaller outsourced resort, you know, company that really is relying on probably what is quite a big contract and quite a big invoice to be payable? How do you get around that with the larger organizations that are quite stringent on their 90 day payment terms?
In fairness to most of them, most of the sort of medium, but more as you rightly say, mostly the larger companies, they will kind of tell you that they're going to pay you within 60 or 90 days. At the point, you know, generally speaking, they'll raise their own purchase order.
Yeah.
And in that purchase order, it will generally say, these are our payment terms.
So you get the option to either accept that or not before you've done the work.
Absolutely.
See, the differential, I suppose, is between the fact that they are going to be the payers.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a longer time as opposed to maybe the people who've got smaller, you know, payment terms.
And my tip there is, obviously, if you know that they're going to pay you in 60 or 90 days, then you need to reflect your loss of cash flow in terms of
your
pricing.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I've found with big businesses that do that is when they fail to pay at 90 days as well. And then what you find is that normally it's just inefficiency. Yeah, they just forgot to pay or something like that. But when you call up, they go, oh, the next payment run's not for a month. And one of the beauties now, hopefully not giving away anything that you'd do, Jamie, one of the things I just say now, and that's fine. If you want it all over Twitter, that's fine by me.
And I think that's the power of social media now, isn't it?
I've got to say, in terms of credit control, social media is superb.
Mm.
Obviously, you need to be careful what you put about people.
Yeah.
But I think using social media as a collections tool is the way to go.
Really? Yeah.
Within reason.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not tried and tested. I've used it for my on behalf of my clients in the past. And let's just say I'm still active on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. I haven't been kicked off, but you just need to use it with incredible caution.
At so and so and so and so. Could you please play your voice?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not quite.
Wait, where's my money?
Where's my money?
You can certainly use it as an open communication tool on, you know, on their wall, for example.
Yeah.
But not, but obviously don't give too much away.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I want to come back to something and ask you a question now, Jamie, just for our listeners that have never actually done any of this. You know, Credit Control Solutions can source a credit check for people on a potential client. What's the kind of thing, for those people that have never even seen a credit check document, what are you given, what do you receive, and what is it you're looking for?
Okay, I mean, from a very basic level, what you're looking at is, have they got a credit limit? How long have they been trading? You've also got a complete full set of accounts going back 5 years.
Right.
You've got all sorts of ratios, but obviously you don't really need to worry about that. What you're really looking for is the value of the business that they're going to do with you compared against a suggested credit limit from, you know, in say, for example, it was Credit Safe that provided the report, what limit they would suggest that you can trade at.
Right.
And of course, if, you know, you've got a £30,000 contract with them and they have a credit limit of 500 quid, there's a bit of an issue, but you can kind of use that very carefully to go back to your customer and try and negotiate beneficial payment terms.
Yeah, okay, that makes lots of sense. I mean, do you get like a credit rating? You know, a lot of people over the last couple of years have talked a lot about credit rating as far as countries are concerned and banks and, you know, AAA ratings. Absolutely. And AABs and all that malarkey. Is that kind of rating level, does that happen with smaller businesses? Do you get a AAA rating or a...
Not quite. I mean, what they do, I mean, the one that I use, they give you a number out of 100.
Right, okay.
Most normal businesses that have been trading for a few years will typically get 50 or 60 out of 100.
Right.
Once you've been trading for quite a while and you've filed maybe four or five sets of accounts, then obviously they, you know, your rating, your number will go up. But on top of that, they also give you a financial limit. So they'll say, you know, our suggested rating for this company is, for example, £3,000.
Right, okay.
So you get a credit score, but you also get a financial rating.
Right, that's really useful as well, isn't it? Because that, as you say, that gives you some ammunition to negotiate around. Because, you know, you might well sell them £6,000 worth of business, but as long as they pay in £3,000 tranches...
Yeah. Well, on top of that, they also do suggest a contract limit. So if, you know, you've got, say, a £30,000 contract with a customer, and of course that's going to be paid on a monthly basis, you know, so that's, it's going to be within their credit limit of £3,000.
Right.
But also, okay, it could well be slightly over the contract limit, but so long as you're trading with them on a monthly basis within the suggested credit limit, not the contract limit, then you should be okay. I mean, I might add, these things are not infallible, and on occasions it can be based on information that could quite easily be a year old.
Sure.
And as we all know, you know, a lot can happen to a business within a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And the biggest of businesses, you know, some people get fooled by bigness, don't they? You know, some mega corporation, you think, wow, they're going to be fine. But below the surface, there's nothing there.
That's true. Yeah. I think the bigger you are, the riskier, effectively, because they you know, things happen to big businesses, especially in the high... You just need to look at the high street.
Absolutely,
look how much it's changed within the last sort of 10, 15,
I think
20 years.
Generally, in business to business, I think, you know, we're all business owners. And I think over time, certainly, my work ethic and payment ethic has always been, well, actually, I do it as I would expect to be treated. So if somebody provides me a service in the business community and they have... payment terms, whether they may sometimes be upfront. But I would always pay that, because ultimately we're all in the same boat and actually we've all got to help each other out. But there's so many times where people leverage their incapacity to pay as part of their personal cash flow, and they're the things that really frustrate, because sometimes obviously they may have a £2,000 or £3,000 or £4,000 bill and they say, well, the payment terms are 30 days, but they may go over that because obviously their personal cash flow is not such. But I think within the business community, certainly a small B2B, I think it's really fundamental. And I think on the whole, you know, as long as people's cash flows are okay, that people generally pay in good time. And obviously sometimes a little you know, chase generally does sort of have the desired results. That's how everyone works and how everyone operates and how the world functions. You have to operate those principles, I think.
It's true.
As a business, as an ethical business, you know, to fellow business partners and service providers. So definitely it's a fundamental.
Absolutely.
And it is can have such a significant impact on business if people aren't playing the game and playing, sort of adhering to the terms and conditions of payment contracts.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, small businesses are probably one of the best at paying. It really is. It's sort of medium and above, where you could potentially get the bigger issues.
Yeah,
but I mean, just on that note, I mean, obviously, if a customer is using an excuse not to pay you, the excuse is they can't collect their cash, refer them to us, because that's precisely the sort of people that we're looking for.
Right, absolutely, right. It becomes a virtuous circle for you guys, doesn't it?
Well, it can become quite incestuous.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You're chasing money from, effectively, what are two customers to us?
Yeah.
We could be chasing one customer
to pay the other one.
The other customer, that's quite common with us.
Yeah. All right, okay, cool. I want to move the discussion on a little bit now and into what I would see as the next phase, although you might tell me I've misunderstood, but I hope not. So, you know, we've either done or not done our credit checks, and we've got a client and we've done some work for them and we've started billing them, and then we notice that the check doesn't come in. What I want to do is find out at what point your service can kick in. If we use a service such as yours, which, why shouldn't we? At what point your service kicks in? And the reason that I'm saying that is one of the things that even businesses that are quite good at their own credit control, one of the things they're nervous about is getting heavy with their customers. Yeah, because the customer can then turn around and go, oh, I'm one of your best customers and you're just being rude to me. And if you continue to be rude to me, I'm not going to use you anymore.
Yep,
and that can put people off.
Yep.
Whereas a third party involved in the process, done properly, rather than going, we're coming round with a baseball bat, but which obviously you wouldn't do.
No.
Although you did have a baseball bat last time.
Yeah, not.
You know, having a third party in the loop can actually pay dividends because, you know, without being rude, to some extent, you could go, well, that's our credit control people. They're a bit like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got somebody to blame.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So step me through how the process works. If I'm a business using you, we'll just use, you know, Credit Control Solutions are our outsourced supplier of credit control solutions.
Okay, yeah.
How does it work? What happens?
I mean, basically, what we would tend to do... this is probably one of our biggest keys to success, and it's a hugely good tip for all listeners. What you need to do is approach your customer before it's due for payment.
Mm.
And the approach isn't more of a customer servicey type approach.
Mm.
So what you're looking to ascertain is, have you got the invoice? Yes. Mm. Do you have any queries? No.
Are you happy? Yeah.
You're happy. Yeah, brilliant. So does that mean that we're going to be paid on time? And normally at that point, they would say yes.
Mm.
Whether they mean yes or not is a completely different issue, but they will say yes at that point.
Mm.
And the idea there is, if they haven't got the invoice or they have got a query, you've got at least a week or so to either give them a copy invoice or resolve that query.
Yeah.
So then, before the due date, they still, you know, they've then not got a valid excuse not to pay. Then if they continue not to pay you after that time, they're not, you know they've got the invoice, you know there isn't a query. So therefore, they haven't actually got a valid reason not to pay.
Mm.
So the idea is, because you've gone to them before it's due, there's more of a chance that you're going to be paid between, say, 30 days and 45 days.
Yeah.
If you start the chase process on, you know, one day overdue, the best you can really expect to achieve is to get paid at 60 days or even 90 days, depending on what size customer you're dealing with.
Mm.
So the top tip is, always approach a customer before it's due. It can be a telephone call. It could be an email. It could be a letter. Letters are a little bit old hat these days.
Yeah,
but
sure.
That's the one key to our success.
You're absolutely right, because one of the things you quite often get when you're chasing something internally is you go, the first thing you get is, oh, I never got the invoice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you go, I emailed it to you and I got a read receipt. Nah, my email crashed.
Yeah. No, everyone's email crashes, doesn't
just in accounts. And
right
only
time.
In accounts, yeah. So you do get that. So you're absolutely right. And then also you get people go, oh, no, there was a query on this. Well, what was it? Well, I don't know. We'll find out. And they can spin the whole thing out just by sending around houses. So that is top tipping. James. That is top tipping. If you check beforehand, then they
haven't got a leg to stand on. If they've said, yes, I have received the invoice, and yes, there are no problems, then as far as you're concerned, like you say, as far as your agreement with them, you've provided them the service, they're satisfied with that, they've brought nothing up, therefore there's no reason to not to pay.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic tip.
So the idea is, if your payment terms are 30 days, we're looking to get you paid on the due date, or at the very latest, 2 weeks later.
Right.
Whereas if you leave it to day 31... in real terms, you're not going to get paid until 60 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the one key thing that everybody should do, as well as credit checking. That's the one key thing.
Right.
And, you know, telephoning customers is incredibly important these days. But believe it or not, email has taken over as the main way of contacting your customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know about other people, but in our business, all of our invoices are sent by email.
Yeah.
We actually put them in the post as well, just to be on. Although we don't actually send many invoices now, because we had lots of bad debt problems early on in our business, and we've turned it around, and we actually insist on payment prior to delivery.
Absolutely.
So we get paid up front before we deliver anything. But not everyone can do that,
obviously. Have you found that model? Because, again, certainly in my business as well, over time, that sort of definitely that path of retainers and things like that is becoming quite common now. And obviously, certainly, like I say, in certain areas of your business where you get a 50% up front. Have you found that model changing quite a lot for you?
It has.
Yeah.
Our biggest advice to anybody is, and we're really shooting ourselves in the foot here, is if you can get paid up front or in advance, absolutely go for it.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you don't need to worry about credit checks. So long as you've got your money, that's the best credit check you can have.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, you're quite right.
But then if you're on an ongoing retainer and then they don't pay the next month, I mean, it is a swings and roundabout scenario, isn't it?
But talking about credit checks, I mean, that's often, again, it's a very good way. You can use the information contained within a credit check to negotiate those types of terms as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's get to the next level.
Yep.
So we've had a client, we did all that, but they didn't pay.
Yep.
And they've gone past 30 days, they've gone past 60 days, they've gone past 90 days. Our cash flow is starting to suffer. We're starting to think about not paying our suppliers because we've got no money. What happens next?
Right. Basically, we do offer a debt collection service as well. So it's literally from raising an invoice all the way through to debt collection as well.
Right.
So we would, you know, obviously we've ascertained they've got the invoice. There isn't a query. There isn't a valid reason not to pay. We would go back to our client and say, this is where we're at. All the contacts we've had with your customer are here. This is what they said. They still failed to pay. They've got the invoice, there isn't a query, there's no valid reason not to pay. We would now recommend that we take further action. And that could simply be issuing court proceedings. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Mm.
Or issuing a statutory demand for payment, which tends to work.
Right.
I mean, just to give a statistic here, we issue statutory demands every single day willy-nilly, probably 50 or 60 a day.
Really?
Just that one piece of debt collection, just that one action will recover about 85% of your money.
Right, okay.
Or sorry, 85% of debtors, when they receive this communication, will make a payment.
Right.
So in its own right, the stat demand
is quite some power.
Yeah.
What's involved in a statutory demand? Well, is it just a piece of paperwork?
It's a legal document. Right. It's 7 or 8 pages. You've got 21 days to pay. If you fail to pay, you've then got a right to either issue bankruptcy proceedings if it's against an individual or an unincorporated business, or if it is a limited company or a PLC, you can issue liquidation proceedings.
Right, okay.
So it's quite powerful. It's a very powerful tool, isn't it, in the credit?
And what you do with that, you make sure it's served at their registered office, the director's home addresses, the company secretary's home address, all their trading addresses, by fax, by email. So wherever they go, this thing is there. So they can't deny having received it.
Right.
Strictly speaking, you should personally serve a statutory demand.
Right.
But generally, these days, you don't need to. So long as you can prove they've had it, that's often enough in itself to make them pay.
But to say you send out 50, that's quite a powerful, it's quite a sign of the times, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Jamie, we could talk about this forever, but we're fast running out of time.
No, that's fine, no problem.
It is a critical part of running a business successfully.
Yeah.
And I know that you as a company have a massively good reputation in what you do, and that is part of what makes the kind of service that you provide so comforting to us in business is that not only do we get our cash flow, but we know people like you will look after our customers as
absolutely.
Well and not, you know, just put a frighteners on them or something.
No, you're quite right. It is about the relationship. We're only ever going to be successful if we establish good relationships with our customers' customers.
Yeah,
you're quite
absolutely.
Right.
Jamie, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Give us a shout for your website.
Yep, it's www.ccssolutions.co.uk.
There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website, so that link will remain there. For the moment, Jamie, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. As always, a great pleasure to hear from you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. There isn't a lot longer to go, but we've got another great guest to talk to in a moment. For the moment, Jamie O'Connell of Credit Control Solutions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you. And
brilliant.
Ricky. Cheers. Thanks.
Thank you.
We've got a gazillion emails.
We have.
Got tweets coming out of our ears, and we've got another interesting guest to talk to. So I'm going to try and fly through quickly some of the tweets. We've had a tweet from Keith Hawkins. We've been so busy at the Avocet Bunker and have missed listening in for a while, but we're back and listening now. And that's Keith and Karen over at Avocet Recruiting over there in Medway. So thank you guys for listening
Hello.
In.
Hello.
Hiya. We've had Chris Pollard of Connect IT
Hello,
is listening. Hi, Chris. Thank you for your kind words the other day at the networking event that you were at. And I've had a tweet from Deborah Kelland. And Deborah is highly involved with Pilgrim's Hospice.
Yeah.
And she has asked to give a shout out for the Moonlight Walk, which takes place on Friday the 13th of September.
September.
Ooh. Is it in fancy dress? Anyway, it's the Moonlight Walk, and it's from the King's Hall, Herne Bay. And it starts at 8 p.m. and you can either do a 10 or 15K route.
Wow.
And it's a walk. It's a moonlight walk from the King's Hall in Herne Bay on Friday the 13th of September. It's 15 quid to take part. And obviously that money goes towards Pilgrim's Hospice. And you can register and find out more about it by going to the following website, which is pilgrimsmoonlightwalk.org.
And you walk it, because obviously, as
walk.
You know,
it's
I did
rain.
My 10K tonight in stifling heat in London. So if you
absolutely.
Can walk it, that's fine.
Absolutely. Did you do the one in bras? There's one. There's a.
Well,
there's a
I did have a bra
one.
On, but
no, obviously. But there's one where they only wear bras.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Allegedly,
it was actually,
they won't let me in. I keep trying to get there, but I go, no, you can't come in.
It was the London 10K, but I was running for, obviously, my neighbour Lily, who's got San Filippo. So, but it was lots and lots of difference. But it was such a stifling hot day. And but anyone, I would say, to walk it rather than try and run it in 30 plus, it would be in the evening, and a leisurely walk. That sounds good to me.
Cool. So that's Friday the 13th of September, pilgrimsmoonlightwalk.org if you want to find out more about it. And we'll put a link to that on the community page on the Kent Business Radio website. We've had a new listener, Food for Forks, F-O-R-K-S, Food for Forks. Please do give us a shout out for Food for Forks. Thank you. And there you can find them on the Twitter at Food for F-O-R Forks, all one word.
I wonder, they'll have to tell
forks.
Us a bit more about that.
Yeah,
that's a scoff and cough as well, I think.
Yeah, tell us more.
Food for Forks.
Yeah. AK Pet Services, Adrian Kearney, and his pet taxi and ambulance. This is, I'm absolutely made up for him for this. I'm pleased to have been nominated for the Kent Keita Awards. That's the Kent Independent
well
Traders Awards. Well done, Adrian. That's absolutely phenomenal. Fantastic achievement.
When are the awards?
Fairly soon.
There,
I know the nominations are closed because I saw something on Twitter. But if you follow them on the Twitter, that's Kent_Keita, K-I-T-A. Kent_Keita, and you can find out about them
fantastic.
Through that. I've got another 127... tweets. I'm not going to get through them all, am I?
No.
I'll try a few. Kevin Hadlow. Kevin, who's the general manager over there at Dobby's in Gillingham, but he's at home at the moment, skiving. Sorry,
I've
Kev.
Heard that at Dobby's that they've got a really nice restaurant. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
I've been told I need to go up there.
Yeah.
It's a very nice restaurant.
But Kevin's at home at the moment listening to the show, and he said, I'm building a raised flower bed while listening to the Business Bunker.
Mm.
It's a tad hot out here,
Paul. He should actually
and
come
he's given us a photograph of him.
Oh.
Yeah. Stripped to the waist, building a flower bed. It's lucky it's radio, Kev. I'll tell you what, Bex, do another email while I sort out these tweets, and then we're going to come to Steve.
Okay, well, we've got two very special evenings of music for diners in Dover and Hythe. Enjoy an evening of good food and good music as four distinguished musicians are welcomed from Germany. Francis Hagman from mezzo-soprano, and Martina Hansen, mezzo soprano. They will be accompanied by Eva Herman on piano as they sing a melodious variety of well-loved songs from light opera, the musicals and the cinema. Sunday the 1st of September at Hythe Bay Seafood Restaurant, and Tuesday the 3rd of September, again at Hythe Seafood Restaurant, 7:30. You can book now by telephoning 01304 207740, on Dover at hythebay.co.uk, or for the Dover one, that's for the Dover one. For the Hythe one, it's Hythe at hythebay.co.uk, and you can telephone for the event on the 3rd of September on 01303 233 844.
Fantastic. We're going to have to flash through these because we're fast running out of time. I've had Gullen's Employment, that's Gullen's Solicitors in Maidstone. Hi, Vanilla Webb. Employers will be interested in the following free breakfast seminar event on the 16th of October. You can find out all about it by going to our website at Gullens, gullands.com/news-events. I will put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. We've had a hi in from Benji's in Canterbury. We've had Lindley's, Hi Business Bunker, summer sale in full swing, interest-free credit available. And that's from Dennis, who's the head of beds. And thank you. That's Lindley's Department Store, Roper Road, Canterbury. So they got a sale in full swing. We've had John from saleshelp_VR. That's his Twitter handle. Paul, good to hear. The Business Bunker Show, and thoroughly endorse what you were saying about Alex Waterston and the folks at F-Keys. Aww. So that's lovely. Thank you for that. Chart Sutton Antiques. Hi, Paul. We are a new antique centre in Chart Sutton near Maidstone, offering a good selection of antiques and collectibles. That's Chart Sutton Antiques. You can follow them on the Twitter at CHTSUT Antiques. So Chart Sutton Antiques.
So you've had a mass of tweets there.
I've got hundreds. It's
so hard to go through.
Hundreds of them, and I've got hundreds of emails to read. Yeah. And we've got to speak to Steve, absolutely, who's our next guest, and we've got some tunage to play. So I don't know where we're going to go here. I think we'll bin the tunage for the moment. We don't need
Yep.
I think I'm going to read this tweet because it's a bit time sensitive, and then we're going to come to Steve Trim, who's our next guest. One summer night, the 30th of August at 7, Whitstable Castle. One Summer Night is an event with Dion Broomfield, Natalie Coyle, Zara Thorne, and it's strictly a backtight event, entertaining you as you enjoy the castle gardens, setting the scene for the rest of your evening. As the night progresses, you are invited to enjoy not just the musical talent, but also a luxury buffet fresh from the castle kitchens and a well-stocked bar. This event is organised by Stella English. Do you know Stella?
No,
she won The Apprentice.
Ah.
And she's now got a Kent-based events company, and this is her first event at Whitstable Castle on the 30th of August, and you can find out all about it by going to EnglishEventsCompany.com/events.
I have to say, I was quite new to Whitstable Castle a couple of years ago, and I came across it. It is a beautiful place. Highly recommend it for little lunches and things. Beautiful place, yeah. Cool. I've used it for venues and everything. It's lovely.
Cool. We're going to have to abandon all this now because I want to talk to our next guest. It is a stonkingly, amazingly, massively pleasurable experience to welcome someone that's got quite a reputation in Kent, and everybody's heard of this chap, but nobody quite knows what he does, and we all make it up as we go along. So I thought the easiest thing is to get him on to tell us from the spider's mouth. Mr. Steve Trim, founder and managing director of Venomtech. Steve, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Oh, welcome. Thanks, Paul, for the great invitation to come and talk and tell people what we actually do rather than us
all make it up. Yeah. Because we do, don't we? Everybody goes, you heard of that Venomtech over in Canterbury? And we go, yeah, they got all kinds of stonkingly poisonous things, and they do all kinds of weird things. And then you tweet me going, no, we don't.
Yeah, it's a trick to try and tweet fast enough as you're talking live on air to try and feed you some facts of what we do. So
absolutely,
great opportunity.
Tell us, Tell us what we're going to do this the other way round to Jamie. Tell us what you do first, because then I want to find out how on earth you got into this. But tell us what it is you do first.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So what we do is provide venom for people, and people's obviously first question is, who buys venom? It's toxic, surely it's bad for you.
Yeah. Because the Borgias have all died out, so that market has died out.
Yeah, so what you've got to bear in mind is the first ever high blood pressure drug, Captopril, was actually inspired by snake venom.
Right.
So you had millions of people dying of high blood pressure, and yet in South America, you've got millions of South Americans dying of low blood pressure after a bite from this viper.
Right.
And a Brazilian scientist came over to London, brought some venom with him, and said, you know, we should look into this. And they actually discovered how blood pressure is regulated.
Right.
And actually then turned it into a life-saving pharmaceutical from a life-taking venom.
So, right, okay. So I've got a question here. Presumably, the animal involved isn't overly bothered about your blood pressure. There's an ingredient that does something to you. So I don't know if you know even this particular snake, viper, whatever it is. What does it actually do? The venom that it injects into its prey, what is the venom supposed to do?
Well, the venom stops the prey running away by catastrophically dropping its blood pressure.
Oh, right, okay. So it does genuinely just lower its blood pressure, so it falls over, basically.
Yeah, and it also there's other components. So venom is like crude oil. There's hundreds of different components in there, and the trick is to get the interesting ones. In this particular case, the interesting one is the same as the dangerous one, but often they're different
components. They can be different.
And these vipers often kill by causing hemorrhage, so diffuse bleeding from various different places, as well as dropping the blood pressure, and the animal can't run away anymore.
Right. Okay.
But also, there's a snake venom from the southern copperhead from North America that is actually has a component in its venom that stops cancers breaking away and forming secondaries. Now, there's nothing in evolutionary theory would make you think that a snake wants to cure cancer in its victims.
Yeah.
So evolution can guide us a little bit, but also there's more to be found than just in the predator-prey interaction.
I mean, it strikes me as a complete idiot, these things, for want of a better word, that there's probably accidental secondary benefits to some of these things that don't really play an active part in what the animal's trying to do. It just happens to pan out like that. Is that kind of
great?
Yeah,
there's other components in the venom that have co-evolved and either been important in developing the venom gland and into a predator-killing, prey-killing mechanism. But there's other things alongside it that are helping support other components. So we can mix and match. But also, what we do is we look at the clinical literature on envenomation, and sometimes you spot weird side effects that may give you a clue that actually there might be something really interesting in a venom that you've not previously seen before.
How do you source the particular species for the venom? So obviously in this particular case where obviously the scientists came over from Brazil and there was a real correlation between low blood pressure and high blood pressure, how do you sort of target a particular species? I mean, is it something to obviously extract the venom? I just wondered how, because obviously there's vast amount of species out there, so I just wondered how you target that.
Yeah, so we've taken a different approach. So what we do is collect a diverse range of animals, and they're all captive bred from the pet trade in the UK and Europe. And so rather than getting a specific venom, what we do is we make sure we cover the widest diversity such that when our customer's coming for us looking for a new painkiller, for instance, we can offer some venoms that we know have painkilling activities, but we can also offer closely related venoms from species from different countries that might have other benefits. Okay. So rather than going single venoms, we go for a wide diverse approach.
So that would lead me to suspect that a lot of your client base are research scientists.
That's correct.
And they go, got any decent stuff then, Steve? And you go, I've got this under the counter. It's a bit of Burmese anaconda or something, although I know they're
exactly
not poisonous.
Scope,
So you supply them with a range of things that they would then take to a laboratory and experiment with, really, and try to isolate various parts of that venom?
Yeah, so we do a lot of the isolation ourselves nowadays.
Oh, right, okay.
We started in the early days, in March 2010, when I formed the company, actually providing crude whole venom, like crude oil. But right. Now we actually fractionate it and isolate out some of the actives for our components, for our customers. But our customers don't come, you know, a few of them come to us and say, oh, have you got some viper venom? Oh, yeah, there you go. But most of them go, I've got a problem. I'm trying to find a new painkiller. My small molecule libraries that pharmaceutical companies usually use for screening are not working. They're either causing too many side effects or they're not specific enough. Have you got something that could be a new tool for me?
Right.
And then I draw my drug discovery experience and that of our team to actually say, here's a collection of venoms that we think should be active in your pathway and therefore solve your problem for your new drug.
So basically, you and your team have a fairly comprehensive knowledge of the kind of things that various bits of wildlife do to things.
Yes, exactly.
Cool, okay. I just want to ask a daft question, probably, but it's the kind of thing that people are interested in, I guess, if we're not research scientists. I mean, we can all think of poisonous snakes and poisonous spiders. Yeah. Is that it, or are there other viciously poisonous things that you extract venom from too?
So for us, the bulk of what we work with are the snakes and spiders, and bizarrely enough for most people, it is the tarantulas, which are our biggest number of species. We have over 60 species of tarantulas,
right, okay.
You know, when people have rarely been bitten by them, the clinical signs are quite poor.
Right.
But these are actually the most useful for pain-killing agents. Mm. We do have some black widows in there as well. And we're moving into jellyfish, anemones, and possibly leeches as well.
Right, okay.
And so there's a wide range of things.
Mm. I seem to remember some story about some kind of toad that you shouldn't lick or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we get many strange requests. And
I was going to say, do you actually get a specific request and say, you know, a scientist has seen some scientific research into a particular species, and then they say, would you be willing, like I say, for a toad or something, would you bring that in and actually harvest the venom from that species if you were specifically asked to almost select, rather than actually have the venom sort of in your
bank? Conduct an investigation,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can source stuff to order as long as it sort of fits with our business model. You know, there are weird things out there. There's a venomous primate, and the duck-billed platypus has a venomous spur. So if somebody came to me wanting platypus venom, I direct them to the Aussies to go and get some from there, because we're not going to be bringing in platypus anytime soon.
Yeah.
But if it's a different tarantula species that we don't happen to stock, or you know, a venomous snake or something, then we can usually accommodate them.
Okay.
And how many species do you actually have?
We've got 52 species of venomous snakes, so that includes all your mambas, cobras, rattlesnakes, taipans. We've got about 50 species of tarantulas from all over the globe, and then about 30 other species, so including centipedes, venomous scorpions, such as the death stalkers, and all more less dangerous scorpion species. And we're building collaboration with a big aquatic supplier, actually move into jellyfish and anemones that I know we were talking about later on.
Mm.
And then harvesting jellyfish venom sustainably is a new challenge for us that we've nearly sorted out. So
okay, cool. Because jellyfish can be pretty toxic, can't they?
Oh, definitely, yeah, because you've got such small, delicate animals. Mm. Their venom needs to stop their prey, which is often fish, very quickly.
Mm.
And a lot of people also find surprising there's a big group of venomous snails in the South Pacific that actually eat fish. So you've got a squidgy snail in a shell that's preying on a fast-moving bony fish.
Right.
And so the venom has to be really toxic and neurotoxic that stops the fish in its tracks before it can damage the snail.
Right.
These are called cone snails because they've got cone-shaped shells. But actually, there's a compound in the clinic now as a pain-killing agent from one of these snails, because it's the way it acts on ion channels that actually control how your nerves signal and how your pain is processed.
Mm.
And so they've actually used these snails to produce a new pain-killing drug that's better than morphine. So.
Cool.
And it's how you manage all these species, I think, is amazing. Well, you're obviously very good with spiders and very good with snakes.
Well, we've had this discussion, which is one of the things that Steve told me off about, because we're having a discussion about Venomtech, because loads of people have heard of it, of Venomtech. And, of course, there's an assumption that Steve spends most of his life getting bitten by things. Come on, Steve, how many times have you been bitten and what by?
Never.
You've never been bitten?
No. So people always have this a thought about what we do. And a lot of that comes from especially YouTube and our compatriots out in tropical countries that are milking snakes for anti-venom production. Mm. And their method of grabbing the snake is just literally grab the snake, milk, collect the venom. Yeah. Whereas we've come from a pharmaceutical health and safety approach.
Right.
And so we have a patent that's near to granting on a safe method of feeding our venomous snakes, which means we don't actually have to open the enclosure.
Right.
This will shortly be developed into a method for actually milking the snakes that's contact-free.
Right.
We also developed a method to anaesthetize our dangerous spiders for actually husbandry. So when our technicians actually clean out a black widow, the black widow is unconscious, for want of a better word, asleep.
So
it's not going to bite you because it's immobile. You can just then move it. And so now we both
wow.
we consult with the zoos, so BIARZA, the British and Irish Association of Zoos and Aquaria, with actually safe methods of husbandry of our spiders, because we've developed techniques that actually keep the operator separate from the animal.
I was going to say cleaning it out and things like that. I mean, obviously, you know, this must be a full-time job, really, making sure they're obviously the amount of species that you have, ensuring that they're clean and everything. So it's how you manage that.
Yeah, and the day-to-day maintenance is a much higher risk and more frequent event than actually collecting the venom, because certainly from the snakes, when they produce the venom, they produce a lot of it quite easily. And so it's actually maintaining a good separation, which actually keeps everybody happy. And obviously our landlord, the Kent Enterprise Hub, are very keen on us keeping our animals in good containment. Yeah.
I used to have a business next door to them, and every time we walked past their door, we'd walk the other side of the corridor. I don't know why. There was absolutely no reason for it, but you just would. You know, there'd be creepy things in there.
Yeah, we do get that reputation.
I want to ask you another dove question. I'm sorry about this, Steve, but I'm just kind of thinking. I mean, I don't need to know these kind of things. I'm just thinking on behalf of our listeners. Honestly, various animals, let's take a snake, for instance, that is highly toxic and poisonous. If for some reason, and you might say, no, this never happens, but if a particular snake bit another snake, what happens? Do they have immunity to their own toxic poisons, or?
Yeah, so it depends what other snake it bit, for instance.
Right.
King cobras prey on other snake species.
Right.
But if it bites another king cobra, then the venom and the animal has evolved, obviously, in parallel.
Right.
And so they have mutations in their proteins that the venom act on that stops their own venom acting on their own own genes.
Okay.
And yet, you know, snakes do sometimes bite themselves when they're trying to feed and, you know, crazy things like that. And so evolution has selected that out. So they're generally immune to their own toxins.
Which, again, that surely is something to investigate. And so from immunity and things like that, I suppose.
Yeah, so it depends. There's two mechanisms. One is their own genes are mutated.
Yeah.
But there's also they've developed something new that inactivates their venom in their blood. And this is something that the anti-venom manufacturers are looking into, that whether the snake blood actually might be a better cure for envenomation than the anti-venom itself.
Yes.
So, it's a whole new area of research and looking into. But it's not for all animals, but the majority of them have an immunity to their own toxins.
Okay. One of the other assumptions that a lot of us ignorant people would make is that a lot of the business of venom tech would be providing anti-venoms. Is that something you actually do?
No, we have a keen interest in anti-venoms for our own health and safety point of view. But no, we don't do any anti-venom production.
Right.
We are selling the venom itself as the potential new therapeutic.
But you have a stock of anti-venoms for
Our anti-venoms are at Guy's and St Thomas's, the poison unit down there. And we're in close connection with them about the species we house and species we work with.
Right. So in the event of anything, then that's where you would work with?
Yeah, they'll come to us by HeliMed. So but the important way of thinking is most people think dangerous animal need anti-venom. We think dangerous animal needs separation first.
Right.
And then safe working procedures and then anti-venom. at the end.
Yeah.
And it's a different approach to these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see many photos of crazy people free-handling cobras and mambas on the web, yeah, and lots of people being bitten as a result. And
I think it's people's preconceived idea. Like you say, it is, whereas social media can be a very powerful tool, it can also be a very
the thing is there's no interesting stories in, no, we have a very healthy health and safety, yes, procedure that means nobody ever gets bitten, and we've got, oh, so
it's boring. You know, a TV and various things that obviously make these creatures, in most people's eyes, as you know, very fearful of them. So I suppose it's like you say, it's having a health and safety policy where you have separation, then obviously you don't have the problems in the first place.
No, and it's given us a good business reputation with our customers in the pharmaceutical industry, but also in the zoological industry, helping them work better with the animals they have. And because the public love drama and excitement,
yeah, absolutely,
and danger.
I'm still going to make stories up about you, Steve, don't worry.
Some people say that any publicity is good publicity,
yeah,
and that goes true for some extent. But yeah, the great thing about having the good procedure is actually generating new business for us.
Yeah,
and also keeps our staff safe, and that's what keeps them coming back to work.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Otherwise, staff turnover could be quite high, really, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, people often question that as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not a problem for us.
Uh-huh. Cool. Steve, it's a fascinating topic, and a very important topic as well. And I don't think people quite realise, you know, when you talk about drug testing, and developing new treatments for various things, they tend to have some misguided views on what that involves as well.
Oh, indeed.
But this is a fascinating topic, and no animals were harmed in the making of these venoms. Presumably,
exactly. No, we do it. We look after the animals. Yeah. Everything is done recoverably because they are our resource. They're our stock.
Absolutely.
They're more than our stock. They're our manufacturers. So, we look after them carefully.
Cool. Steve, it's an absolute pleasure for you to come and explain what you do. It's a fascinating, fascinating business that you've got. It really, really is ultra cool. Give us a shout for your website. So, do you have any pictures on your website and stuff like that?
Yeah, so on our website, it's mainly built towards our clinical customers.
Yeah, of course.
A few photos on there, and that's www.venomtech.co.uk. But we've just started a Facebook, obviously called Venom Tech, just the same. And that we're actually starting putting photos of our animals and stories of what happens behind the scenes for the public to see.
Brilliant.
What's
Brilliant.
Going on. And on Twitter, we're at Venom Research. And what we do every week is we do an A to Z of Venom, a new fact on how venoms are useful. And that goes across LinkedIn, Twitter and Facebook.
Fantastic. So there you go. Follow them and like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter and have a look at their website. Steve Trim, Venom Tech, thank you so much for joining us in the Business Bunker.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating story, and all power to you. Well done.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Cheers.
Thank you.
Right, we're fast running out of time here, Bex. We got a gazillion tweets. We got loads of emails, so I'm going to try and flash through them. I've had an email from Breakfast Friends, Sevenoaks and Tunbridge. There's a breakfast meeting this Friday, the 23rd of August, and it's hosted by @7hoteldiner. That's a Twitter handle. So you can find out where that is by following them on Twitter. And
okay,
it's the number 7 Hotel Diner is their Twitter handle. And there's James from British Family, who's the guest speaker. And it starts at 7:45. And you can find out all about it by going to their website, which is breakfastfriends.co.uk.
Okay. Sounds cool. Interesting.
We've had Hilary Steele from Kent Ideas. I was pleased to be nominated for the Kent Creator Awards. Oh, Hilary is the organiser of Keita. And she's just retweeting Adrian's tweet earlier and saying it's a well-deserved nomination, but nominations have now closed. And Hilary will be on the Business Bunker in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, fantastic.
To tell us the winners.
Oh.
So that's cool.
Fantastic.
Blimey. James Gardner. Oh, sorry, James. I've just... hope you're having a great show. I'm in France this week. He was listening to us from America last week. He gets around,
he's
James.
In France.
Yeah, James Gardner works for Component Force, a manufacturing company over in Medway. And we've been doing quite a bit on manufacturing just recently. We were saying how manufacturing is an underrepresented area of British business, and how successful it is, but people don't think it is. And Paul Gardner, James's brother, was on a few weeks ago telling us about his business. We then had a few emails last week from other manufacturing businesses in Kent saying they're great. And then I've got this. Three Kent manufacturing plants are in the running for a top award. Cummins Power Generation in Manston, EMS Radio Fire and Security Systems in Herne Bay, and Fujifilm Specialist in Ink Systems in Broadstairs. And all three of them have been joint shortlisted for the National Manufacturing Awards, run by the Cranfield School of Management and Works Management Magazine. And there's only 14 on the list, and three of them are from Kent.
Wow.
So that is a stonkingly good achievement. And while I'm reading this email, I've got a couple of other things on here as well. There's an award-winning web development agency, EK Media, and that's Brant and the guys over there in Otford. And they've grown bigger and better this month with the addition of a newer team member, Mr. Simon Keane, who has joined EK Media from Maidstone-based G-Forces, where he has been a senior designer for the last 4 years. So onwards and upwards for the guys at EK Media. And frozen fruit and vegetable specialist Ardo UK has added 8 new recruits to their growing workforce. So there's lots of business growth going on in Kent at the moment, and that is very good news.
I think it has a lot to do with the media, and there has actually, I mean, I'm always watching the Business Breakfast News every morning, and sometimes, you know, there is an awful lot of good things going on, and I think it's really us as Kent, obviously the Business Bunker and various Kent business enterprises that really need to champion this, because like you say, the manufacturing industry, I mean, where I live in sort of the Slough area, it's quite phenomenal the amount of really successful businesses there are, you know, what good work they do. You know, obviously we have Kent Science Park as well, you know, and the phenomenal work they do there, and I think you know, I think it is very understated a lot of the time, and I think we really do need to get out and champion Kent business. You know, I think
absolutely.
I think things are on the up. I think we've been there, we've all sort of gritted our teeth, and we've really got through the bad times, and I really do think that there is an improvement. I think it's all of us now to start really championing our individual businesses and to sort of, you know, really praise other businesses out there that are doing so well. So well done.
I feel a soapbox coming on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is entirely why I started the Business Bunker Show. We're nearly 4 years old now, and it's been a long, hard slog getting people to understand that there's a radio show where you can get publicity for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just
absolutely
don't believe it. And you can. The whole point of the Business Bunker Show was to bring together the business community of Kent and help us each promote each other. There are just over 60,000 SMEs and micro businesses in this county alone. And there's some fantastic stuff going on. You know, I mean, no, you know, Venom Tech and Jamie and Control, Credit Control Solutions, this and Paul Gardner with Component Force. There's just so many things going on in this county, and there's so many bits of interest. And unless we talk to each other, we're never going to find out. And, you know, that's what the whole rationale behind the Business Bunker Show was about, was to raise the profile of small businesses and to get us in the forefront of our community, because so many other outlets just don't talk about us.
I think it's, you know, it has been a particularly, you know, we've all been there, like James said, you've had highs and lows, you know, it is everyone's been there and experienced it. And I do really think, like you say, with the news, although they really hate to focus on good news, they do like a bad news drama, but you know, there are really positive shoots coming through in the economy now, and I really do think everyone should embrace that and actually not be fearful of taking their innovative ideas moving forward and actually really embracing the opportunities that actually I think we have a fantastic opportunity now. You know, we've learned so much from the last few years, and actually now we can develop further. And I think these are really going to be positive years moving forward.
Absolutely.
And it's all for all of us together to say, look, we've all learned and we're moving forward. And
absolutely.
And certainly, you know, like the Business Bunker and champions within the you know, with Twitter and things, it's always sharing. You know, if you post anything, you know, we should all share it, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. I mean, another thing that's just happened, and this is a bit of blowing our own trumpet here as well. As a lot of you know, I own Fruitworks in Canterbury, which is a hot desking community workspace. And we've just launched in partnership with Alex Waterton a similar thing in Medway.
Yeah.
F-Keys. It's literally yesterday.
Great venue.
Yeah, yeah. It's a fantastic venue. There's loads of desks there. It's good quality, low cost desk space for micro, small and freelance businesses. It's on a flexible basis. There's tons of car parking. Brilliant. Get over there. Follow them, F-Keys, on Twitter, and you can find out about it. But, you know, those kind of things are filling up, and it just shows you how many small businesses there are And, you know, if we can help them and bring it together as a community. And one of the benefits is not just cheap office space, it's working as a community,
yeah,
and working
absolutely.
With each other and bouncing ideas
sharing
off each other.
Sharing yeah. each other's IP. I mean, obviously, there's a limit to that. But what you've done today, you know, it's just sharing people yeah. ideas, you know, it really does help. And yeah. I think it's working together, definitely.
Absolutely. And here's another one. I've got an email from Tracy Bartlett. Are you running a networking session or business event? Need to advertise it? Please click on the banner on my homepage or throughout the site at businesshelpers.co.uk and add yours for free.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you've got a business event that you're going to run, go to businesshelpers.co.uk and add it to their website for some free publicity. And just on that, private firms account for a greater share of employment than at any time since records began, according to an analysis by the Office of National Statistics. Private sector employment has jumped by 1.3 million to now 24.1 million people. While the number of public sector jobs has fallen by 400,000. Last year alone, the increase in private sector employment was almost five times higher than the fall in public sector employment. Latest seasonally adjusted figures showed 80.9% of jobs as of March 2013 were in the private sector. And 70% of those are with small businesses of less than 10 employees.
Exactly.
I'm going to rush through these because we've got 3 minutes before the end of the show. Ashford Town Indoor Market. Welcome to Ashford Town Indoor Market, located in the heart of Ashford. We are hoping to bring a pop-up Christmas indoor market jam-packed with local businesses offering their products and services. So if you want to find out about it from either being there as a stallholder or just attending, there is a website which is ashfordtownindoormarket.co.uk. That's all one word, ashfordtownindoormarket.co.uk. And whilst we're talking about Ashford, and Jamie's an Ashford man and so am I, the Ashford Festival of Arts and Technology will take place on the 27th, 28th and 29th of September. It's the first of this type of festival in Ashford, and we hope to get the community involved in making it big and fun. There can be no festival without the people of Ashford. In our first display of creativity, we'll bring together artists and local community groups to create a weekend of fun, visual indulgence and community spirit. Every year, the Ashford Festival will have a theme based on the elements. We have decided to start with something that is bold, brave and daring, just like us. And this year's theme is fire. The programme will ignite our senses with flamethrowers, handmade fire-themed arts, crafts and technology, fire dancers, light shows, fireworks and more. You can find out all about this fantastic event by going to their website, which is www.ashfordfestival.org. So, we've got a minute left.
Can I just do one quick
You
one?
Can indeed.
Fundraising training in Kent. Four upcoming training events are being offered exclusively for Kent charities at Maidstone Hilton. The first one was on the 14th. The second one is today. But the next one is on the 5th of September, an introduction to fundraising for funders. Places are limited for 20 per workshop and include lunch and coffee. To book your place, www.bigsocietyweb.com/workshops. So for anyone looking to fundraise, any charities, then there is, I believe, an event there for them on the 5th of September.
Okay, and we've had a response to your plea at the start of the show of people telling you where to go.
Where to go?
Yeah, Lisa Marie Settle has said, tell Rebecca to come along to the Medway After Hours Network in September. We'd love to see her there.
I'd love to see her. I haven't seen her for a very long time.
So do get along to that.
I think that's
an Invicta Chamber event, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can find out about that by going to kentinvictachamber.co.uk
yep.
and having a look in on their events website, because they have...
After Hours clubs.
They have loads of events, and I go to quite a few of their After Hours events, and they are stonkingly good, let me tell you. Have you got any emails left?
I have got one, if you've got some time.
We've got exactly 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Okay, North Kent Finance Forum on my birthday, Wednesday the 18th of September. That was the last time I was here when I had, one of the last times when I drove a Lamborghini, sat in one.
It's my birthday on Thursday.
Ah, is it? Happy birthday. It's location is Reeves in Chatham Maritime, 8 a.m. to 8:30 start, finishes at 10 a.m. prompt. Topic growth through exports. So it's another exports. This is intended to be an open discussion with all attendees being responsible for finances of their businesses and willing to offer advice to each other. Limited to 15 places. Bacon roll and tea and coffee will be provided. So that's the Kent, North Kent Finance Forum at Reeves, Julia Johns on 01634 899 800, and we'll put all the details on the website for the 18th of September, also known as my birthday.
Fantastic. Anything you've heard on the Business Bunker show today, you can find on kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. It will either be under the show page, today's show is number 137, or you will find it under community or events. So do have a look around the site and have a look. There's also some stonking blogs on there as well.
Yes.
That need a bit of reading. So have a quick read of some of the blogs
that are there.
You're
always looking to have blogs and people, anything, you know, uploaded and things like that.
Absolutely. If anybody's got an interesting blog they want loaded, by all means do please let us know. We're happy to have other people's blogs. All the blogs are provided by the business community of Kent, so have a read of those.
Caring and sharing.
Just a quick advert coming up on Channel Radio later today. At 3 o'clock we have Kevin Cam with Extra Milk. Then the ladies' favourite at 5 o'clock, Mr Craig Avery, with the Sporting Letter from America, read by yours truly. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the absolutely awesome New Potato Show with Jamie Leftarm. That's everything that's good in new, unsigned, up-and-coming music and bands. And that's a cracking show. It's got a huge audience now, and there's some fantastic music on it. So have a listen to New Potatoes, all on channelradio.co.uk. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Rebecca Oliver, and our fantastic guests, Mr. Jamie O'Connell of Credit Control Solutions and Mr. Stephen Trim of Venom Tech. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back next week with another packed business show for the businesses of Kent. In the meantime, have a fantastic week, and we will see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01899-